All right. Actually, first we'll read the translation of all this, not all the prayers, just the prayers in Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And of course, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, as I mentioned before, is the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, who's my spiritual master. And his spiritual master's whole disciplic succession is Srila Gaurakishorenas Babaji Maharaj, and then before that, you have Bhakti Vinod Thakur and then Jagannath Das Babaji. And that disciplic succession goes all the way back to Krishna. And after Krishna, there's Lord Brahma. And after Lord Brahma, there's Narada Muni. And after Narada Muni, there's Vyas. I mean, I don't have all the names memorized, which is quite a few names. But the principle of disciplic succession is so that the knowledge will remain, you know, the Vedic knowledge will remain untouched as it goes through the ages, that you have pure devotees who form each link of the chain. And if one link is broken, guess what? The chain's useless. So the chain is only as strong as its weakest link. So I'll just read this, and then we'll talk about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's life. So the obeisances that we offer to him were: I offer my respectful obeisances unto His Divine Grace, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada, who is very dear to Lord Krishna on this earth, and who is fixed at the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. I offer my respectful obeisances unto my Master, His Divine Grace, Shri Varshavanavi Devi Doitaya Das, that's His name, who is an ocean of mercy and deliverer of the science of the relationship with Lord Krishna, enriched with the brilliant conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, follower of Rupa Goswami, and delivering devotional service unto you, personification of the energy of Lord Gauranga's mercy, I offer my respectful obeisances. And my obeisances unto you, personification of Lord Gauranga's instructions, and deliverer of the fallen, you are removing the darkness of false conclusions directed against the philosophy of Srila Rupa Goswami. So that's a lot to digest. Let's see if we put that here. Okay, so now we're going to read or speak. I just have my notes here about his life. Of course, he is the son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a great devotee in our disciplic succession, who authored, I would say, probably hundreds of literatures. You know, at least 30 major books and other supplementary literatures on Krishna consciousness. Amazing books. Some of them were story books, like the Jiva Dharma. Others were philosophical literatures. I mean, one of the most erudite scholars of all time. So before Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared as Bhaktivinoda Thakur's son, there were many what we call, the Sanskrit word is upasampradayas. In other words, there were people who deviated from the disciplic succession and taught all sorts of weird stuff. You know, one type of weird stuff that they were teaching is that if you want to become a gopi in the spiritual world, a man should dress himself up as a woman. And sakiveti, that's called in Sanskrit. That's one type of weird thing. So in other words, sometimes you may be in Vrindavan and see, like, a woman who's pretty ugly, you know, with a beard and everything like that, you know, something not so attractive. So anyway, so you'll see that sort of stuff. So he was very concerned about that, so he wrote a Bhaktivinoda Thakur we're talking about now. So he wrote a variety of literatures about that. But he really felt that he couldn't complete the task because he had many family responsibilities, yeah. So he was, you know, he was married, he was a Supreme Court justice, and he had a very large family. So he prayed for Lord Chaitanya to send down his right-hand man to help with the mission. And what happened is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent down this particular personality, who was known as Bimal Prasad when he was first born, that was the name. And he was the fourth son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's a yogi. Yogis can keep their body warm even in the middle of the winter. He used to go in ice in the middle of the winter I'm not making that up. So he was the fourth son born of BhaktiVinod.org, and he had signs in his body that indicated that he was a great personality. The Sanskrit word is maha purush. And one of the signs is that someone has lotus eyes. In other words, most of us here have beady eyes. You know, real, like, round eyes. And his eyes, like you see sometimes the cows here, you ever see the white cows? They have lotus eyes. That's lotus eyes, right? Like that. And other, let's say, other dimensions of the body, like the size of the hands, the size of the face, the neck, and everything like that, it indicated that he was what they call Mahapurush. Maha means great, Purush means person. And basically, he was called Bimal Prasad, which is actually, I'll describe what that means. That's a name of the goddess Durga or Parvati. Now one might ask why he was given the name of the goddess Durga or Parvati. The reason was because in Jagannath Puri, you've been in Jagannath Puri, so they have this thing called Jagannath Prasad, which I'm sure you got. They would take the Jagannath Prasad, and it's described that all was coming through Parvati, or Durga, and given to Lord Shiva. Interesting. And then he was able to take his grains for the first time from Lord Jagannath. So this was indicative of his position. So as he grew up, he showed great determination, unlike any three-year-old kid. For example, when he was 3 years old, he grabbed a mango for his incarnation of Krishna. There's a place, just south of Jagannath Puri called Kurukshetra, which I've been to. And you've been to Gokul. You've been there with me. Remember? And Kurukshetra is a place where they have a tortoise. The Lord is being worshipped. Very beautiful old temple. And debated with the professor who was in charge of the astrology department, and he defeated him in front of the whole school. He was just a student. And as described, the professor had a call of nature, which means, interesting what I'm talking about, that means he couldn't control his nature. He was given the Kurma deity by his father, you know, the Kurma, the tortoise deity. Is the Kurma is the presiding deity of the nectarian ocean of devotional service. So he got two things. Heart purification, and of course he was already a pure. We call it the Shaktivesha avatar. That means he came down from the spot, kicked out. Why was he happy? Because he thought, you know, if he were to continue his university education and come out with his diploma, there'd be so much pressure for him to enter into material life, get a job, raise a family, everything like that. So he said, no way. But still, after he left the university, he did do some work to make without a spoon, without their hands. And they could only eat as long as they were down. Once a day. As soon as they got up, that was it. No more food. And that was the austerity. And he did that austerity for some time, actually, for about 2 years. And also growing the beard, and also growing the fingernails, not cutting fingernails. I mean, it's a really austere thing. But then he was chastised because he was getting sick. And his father said, "Do you think Lord Chaitanya would want you to do this? You know, you should go out." And Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj said, "I have to ask Lord Chaitanya." And then he came back again, begging, and he asked Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj, "Have you asked Lord Chaitanya?" And Gaurakishordas Babaji Maharaj said, "I forgot." He came back another time, and he asked, "Did you ask Lord Chaitanya?" He said, "Yes, Japa Hare Krishna Hare Ram." And that mantra was just made up by him. You're not supposed to make up mantras. You're supposed to chant mantras that actually come down to simple succession. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, but this guy was very popular, and there was a whole riot, and they actually threatened to kill Bhakti. I've ever chanted in one day, it's been like 80 rounds. It's not that much. On Ekadasi, usually I chant 64. That's pretty easy. Anyway. Actually, when Prabhupada first came to the West, he requested his disciples to chant 64 rounds. And it's important. But in our tradition, the sannyas was more like a babaji, where you wear a white dhoti. Perhaps you've seen people like that. You know, a white dhoti that comes basically almost down to the knees. And you just have a shawl, and you're not allowed to have any sewn clothes. And that's it. Pretty austere. And so he wanted to extend the danda, he adopted the danda, the tree danda. When Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, he actually took Ekadandi sannyas. He took actually it's interesting how he took sannyas. His sannyas guru was Bharti, who's from a impersonalist sampradaya, I mean someone, basically, which is a Brahmin name. Oh, your car. The car will probably come on the other side. Anyway, they'll come. They'll knock on the door. So people were considered to be according to their birth rather than their qualities. Of course, that's contrary between, there was supposed to be an argument between the brahmanas, the ritualistic brahmanas, and the devotees. And so they called for all the people around. This is a place called Midnapur in Bengal. The people around, the Brahmins and everything, there's a large crowd of people watching this thing. And there's the Brahmanas in this debate that the people were so overwhelmed with what he had said that everybody rushed up to him to touch his feet. There were thousands of people there. And so there were police there to protect him. So they held off the crowd and they picked up Bhaktisiddhanta and dunked his feet into the water. They had a jug of water, you know, a large container of water. He and his disciples established the printing press, first printing press in Calcutta for printing Vaishnava literature. And he called the printing press, in Sanskrit, it's called the Brihat Murdanga. Murdanga is a drum. Brihat is a big drum. He said, with a little drum, normal drum, a few people can hear, but when you print books, the same things are being said, but just different personalities. Except, of course, we're fortunate to have Donald Trump in America. He's a unique personality, isn't it? We are extremely fortunate. So, then, in 1914, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's father passed. All right, let's make a deal. Any of you who have not had illicit sex for 1 year in over the last year can take the body. But if you'd lie about it, you know, sort of like tell you in Krishna's name that you'll be ruined, everything will be taken from your master. But this dream, as he was going on the boat to America and he was having heart attacks, he had the dream that Krishna personally, along with all of his incarnations, was rowing the boat. Very interesting dream. So, he established the temple. Oops, I skipped it. Challenged him. Because Prabhupada was a member of Gandhi's movement, independence movement. So Prabhupada challenged him and said, who will accept Chaitanya's mission while India is still a captive nation? And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati philosophically defeated Prabhupada. And Prabhupada at that point accepted him in his heart as a spiritual master. He didn't get rid of ghosts. He was a ghostbuster. I in Fiji I've done some ghostbusting too. There was one girl who was actually haunted by a ghost, and I started chanting to her in the Sringa mantras, and the ghost started speaking to me through her mouth. Stop, stop. And she, you know, almost got ready to attack me. But Thakur said, the reason is that he was chanting offensively, so it wasn't actually the holy name. It was just the movements of his lips and tongue. And so he's become a ghost, and now he's liberated by the association. So in 1925, he was sending sannyasis out all over India, and eventually he established 64 temples all over India within a short period of time. He traveled all over South India, and while he was traveling over South India, let's say, footprints of Lord Chaitanya and all the places that Lord Chaitanya visited in South. And he especially liked preaching using dioramas. That's, of course, an older version of what you would see if you go to Disney World. You know, these little robots and things like that. So, and he was dioramas, opening temples, dioramas, and especially book distribution, the establishing. In 1935, Prabhupada wrote something that was very much touching the heart of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He wrote a poem. And one verse of that poem is, "Absolute ascension thou hast proved, and personal calamity thou hast moved." In other words, Srila Bhakti Saraswati Thakur was very much against impersonalism. He wanted to establish that, because the way he learned English is he memorized the dictionary. Just picked up the dictionary and memorized every word in the dictionary, because he had a perfect photographic memory. So, just a few more things about him was that he was in his reaching out to people, that even when the government, even Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur arranged for cigarettes to be provided for a visiting German scholar one time, and he used the radio in preaching. And, you know, had so many revolutionary things in order to reach out to people. You know, at that time, as I mentioned before, you can see God. I didn't do it. But it was very prominent at that time. So people want cheap and easy spiritual realization. So these are some of the things he did as a spiritual revolutionary, and was also a great spiritual revolutionary in establishing, actually, we'll do the third one first, preaching is the essence, and then utility is the principle. In other words, be ready to do whatever is necessary to reach out to people. Like Gokul's expert, he reaches out to people with yoga. You know, when they're hanging upside down and they can't get out of their posture, because they're all entangled. He says, okay, hot pizza, they'll give up everything else, even chapatis. So, pizza is a chapati with cheese on it, anyway. So, you know, these external things are not that important. But it's the principles, you know, the four principles of Krishna consciousness and the cultivation of bhakti, short dhotis like that. Very renowned. So, of course, they also preach, and they wrote literatures, and they established the holy places in Vrindavan and in Mayapur and places like that. So, yes, part of the sarcasm.
Why did that Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself not go to the Western country?
What did he what?
Why didn't he not travel to the Western country?
America became the most prominent country. Before World War II, America was not the number one country in the world. And of course, with the advent of our temple president, not president, but our president of the United States, America's probably, hopefully, will become a third world country. But the initiating spiritual master of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we just get into the whole thing. He was a ritualist. He was one of the people who was in favor of ritualistic Brahmanas. Not Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but... And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur later didn't exactly reject him, but he just tries to destroy someone's reputation and says it enough times. And if you repeat a lie enough times, people start to believe it. So that's what they do. I'm not saying all of them, and I'm not going to criticize them at all, because they're all Vaishnavas. Let's say Chaitanya Balava over there. So let's say he goes to the Babaji's and they say, "Chaitanya Balava, you know, you're just initiated by this Veerakrishna Goswami, but what is he taught you? He's just teaching you, you're not the body, you know, what the use is that, what is the use of that? You know, the reason, I ask him, are you experiencing the nectar? Have you realized your spiritual identity? He says, no. Last life, you were Genghis Khan. Or you were, you know, whatever. I went to one once, and he said, I can see in your last life you were a pope. I said, no way. Oh, desire to be a pope. You know, maybe I was like with Moses or something. So anyways, with this whole thing, and he goes, wow. That's me. I said, you know, who needs that other guru, you know? He was just struggling all the time, just chanting Hare Krishna, and wow, this is... And so, basically, that's it. I mean, it's not as gross as that. Associates. And they, you know, they're just going to, they pull that, and it's unlimited, basically. It's not like transcendental meditation where everyone got the same mantra. You know, during the 60s, people were very much attracted by transcendental meditation. There was, you know, I just like opened my eyes and there he was, you know, standing on one finger. You know. And that was for hours every morning, right? And that's before he became...